Morning, everybody.
Morning.
So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent, but you'll know it as Mothering Sunday. And it being Mother's Day, we have the usual poses of flowers. But so before we do anything with those, let's just pray God's blessing on those flowers. So as we sit, let's pray. Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus admired the lilies of the field and taught us to imitate them by trusting in your love. Bless these flowers. Accept them as a sweet fragrance and fill the hearts of those who receive them with your love. Because we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So hopefully you all have a Lenten communion service sheet. Cool. So this morning, we meet in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So let's begin our worship by singing our first hymn, which is hymn number 127, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
Thank you.
we stand, we pray for our children as they go across to their Tiger Club. So Heavenly Father, as we are here in this place worshipping you, so our children are going across the road to do exactly the same thing. Lord, would you be with them, keep them safe as they cross. And Lord, just open their ears, their eyes, their hearts and their minds to everything that you have for them this morning. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sit, we'll say the collect for purity. As we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God, though we have rebelled against him. Let us then renounce our willfulness and ask his mercy by confessing our sins in penitence and faith, as we say together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, grant you pardon and forgiveness of all your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our collect prayer for Mothering Sunday. God of compassion, whose Son Jesus Christ, the child of Mary, shared the life of a home in Nazareth, and on the cross drew the whole human family to himself. Strengthen us in our daily living, that in joy and sorrow, we may know the power of your presence to bind together and to heal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In a moment we'll have our scripture readings, but before that let's pray to prepare ourselves to hear God's word. Faithful God, let your word be the treasure of our hearts, so that we may delight in your truth and have open ears to hear the music of your voice above the chaos of this world. We ask this so that we might truly see the vision of your glory. Amen. We sit for our reading from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 20. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you, praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience and endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's stand to sing our second hymn, which is hymn 112, For the Beauty of the Earth. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the second chapter of Luke's Gospel. We begin at verse 33. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you afresh this morning. Amen. Please do sit down. So you can't fail to have noticed that today is Mothering Sunday. And there's an irony in the fact that Mothering Sunday falls on the day when all mums lose an hour of sleep. But Mothering Sunday, I'm conscious that this can be a challenging day for many at the best of times. Many miss the presence of their mother, or indeed their children. And their mother and their children in their lives for a whole variety of reasons. Some may still be mourning the loss of that person. Some, sadly, may never have experienced what it means to be a mother or to receive the love of a mother. And all of those are painful places to be that we need to be sensitive to. Now, I don't believe that anything has ever been said or ever will be said that is eloquent or expressive enough to adequately put across the true value of a mother. If not all of us, then I hope that at least most of us can sit here this morning and think of all that our mothers taught us and be suitably grateful. So, in common with many Christian festivals, Mothering Sunday has its origins in pagan celebration. In this case, a celebration of the mother goddess Cybele. After Constantine converted to Christianity, the Roman Empire began to celebrate it as a Christian festival, honouring the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Mother Church. In this country, a practice grew of giving domestic servants the day off on the fourth Sunday of Lent, so that they could go home and see their own mothers, often the only day of the year when families could come together. However, by the mid-20th century, the celebration of Mothering Sunday had pretty much lapsed in the UK. But its purpose has since evolved, let's say, as how it's known in the majority of the population, referring to today as Mother's Day, rather than Mothering Sunday, which is the proper name in the Christian calendar. And the more cynical among us may also view it as being over-commercialised, producing a proliferation of flowers and chocolates and many other mum-themed gifts to be had in our shops. But if we can step away from all the flowers and the chocolates and reflect on the deeper significance of today, it is possible to consider it in the context of a beautiful and thought-provoking Sunday in the midst of our Lenten journey. And indeed, our Bible readings today can help us to find a way through that. In 1949, Simone de Beauvoir, in her groundbreaking book titled The Second Sex, argued that technology could help emancipate women from their unequal status in society. 75 years later, and science can now enable women with fertility issues to become pregnant. We can feed our babies with shop-bought formula rather than breastfeed. And we can even buy a machine that will rock our babies to sleep. Most of us would celebrate these advances in technology and agree that they have provided some liberation for women. But this is where it gets tricky to be a man preaching on a subject such as this. So, those of you listening to me now with two X chromosomes are going to have to cut me some slack at this point. Motherhood. Not just for those who have physically been pregnant and birthed babies, but those who engage in the very embodied nature of caring for children, including adoptive children. This is both inescapably physical, and it is also profoundly spiritual. It is both at the same time. And in so being, it gives us all, male and female, a unique insight in what it is for us all to be human, to be both material and beyond, recognizing our vulnerability and recognizing our interdependence. So I believe that a good society recognises that we are actually both. So, back to our Bible passages. The lectionary gives us two alternatives for each of the readings on Mothering Sunday, and more critically, two alternative gospel readings. Either, as we have just heard, we return to the presentation of Jesus in the temple at the start of his life, when Mary is told by Simeon that Jesus is destined to save many people, but that a sword will pierce her heart. Or, alternatively, we're transported directly into the heart of parental suffering as John describes Mary seeing her son Jesus crucified and dying, while being utterly powerless to do anything to save or protect him. But first, just think about our Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel. This also speaks of the subject of motherhood. Right at the beginning, we heard, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. Just 12 words. Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. Powerful words. But think about what's actually behind those words. Think about Hannah's longing for a child. Think about her anguished, silent prayer. Her vow to dedicate the child to the service of God. And the complete mystery of her conception. The labour of childbirth. And then the choice of her name for her baby son, Samuel, which means name of God, and God has heard. A very perfect picture of motherhood, wouldn't you say? And I will say something about our gospel reading this morning, but before I do, I think it would be worthwhile just briefly looking at that alternative reading that we could have had from John's gospel. This is the passage that describes Jesus' last moments as he dies on that cross. The only witnesses are John, Mary his mother, and a few women. And the first thing we see is that Jesus notices his mother. Even in the most painful, the most challenging moment of his life, he notices his mother. Even in that moment when he is supposedly doing the most important act in the whole of the universe, he notices her. It would have been particularly hard for Jesus to speak due to the suffocating nature of crucifixion, pulling his body out of shape. And you can almost hear that by how brief Jesus' sentences then are. He squeezes out the last things he wants to say, the things that are too important to leave unsaid before he dies. And he uses some of those phrases to first notice and then speak to his mother. Surely this is every mother's worst nightmare. standing helpless to intervene as your firstborn is dying alone and in agony. The connection of someone you have carried in your body, carried in your heart, now experiencing everything Jesus is experiencing, feels like it must almost have been too much to bear. A figurative sword is indeed piercing her heart as she witnesses her son dying. But she has refused to leave him, and he refuses to leave her. Jesus turns to her and says, "Woman, here is your son," indicating not to himself, but to John, the beloved disciple. And then he turns to that very disciple and says, "Behold, your mother." There's something quite profound about what Mary and the disciple John represent to us here. Here are two people who are there with Jesus at the foot of the cross. Two people who believe in his mission. Two people who believe in his claim to be the Son of God, the Lord and Saviour of the world. So it seems that what's happening here between Jesus, the Saviour, and the two people at the foot of the cross who believe in him is that a new family is being created. A new family created in the shadow of the cross. Through the blood of Christ shed for us there, a new home, a new community comes to life. A new family is born. It's here, at the foot of that cross, as Jesus sheds his blood, and a woman embraces a young man, and a young man embraces a woman. Is it here that the church is formed? It is here that we are taught that family, that motherhood, is far more than simply shared DNA. We talk about the church being formed at Pentecost, but I could easily be persuaded that this is the moment that was the real genesis of our church. So back to our reading from Luke's Gospel. The angel said to Mary, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." If you've ever sat with a mother who has lost her child, you'll know something of the agony of Mary. There is no sorrow like a mother's sorrow. Simeon understood the destiny of the Messiah, and this all played out just as he expected. Jesus would arouse fierce opposition as he lived and ministered with an integrity that exposed the rich and the powerful. And all this inevitably involved Mary in the dark consequences of that ministry. A sword did indeed pierce her heart. And sometimes I think that the collective pain of the world can be just too huge to get your head around. It's enough to have to face our own issues. But if you were to ask a large enough sample of people to consider every aspect of their existence to date, the vast majority would, I think, say that life has been wonderfully worth it. Mary would experience the sheer joy of having a son like Jesus, who had blessed each and every one of those 30-odd years together, which are not actually mentioned in the Bible. Nonetheless, her anguish at the end is terrible to think about. But she would never have said that it wasn't worth having given birth to her beautiful son. Joy and pain come together in this life. And whatever the ambiguities of this day may bring to you, and those ambiguities can be many and various, just consider these words of a wise priest who once said, "Never let the sorrows of this world hide from you the joy of Christ risen." Never let the sorrows of this world hide from you the joy of Christ risen. Mary would have known that joy, the joy of Christ risen. And whatever your experience of motherhood, or whatever your chromosome count might be, that very joy is freely available to you as well. The joy of Christ risen, not something that's just for Easter. For us all of the time. Amen. If you would stand, we'll affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. As we say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Roger will lead us in our intercessions.
Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We praise you for our clergy and our Bible readings on motherhood in St. Margaret's this morning, and for sending into our world Mary, the mother of your dear Son Jesus. We praise you for all mothers throughout the world, especially for all those mothers and children here today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a new reconciliation within our world, trusting and believing that love will overcome oppression, as taught by Jesus during the occupation of the Romans at the time of their empire. Help us to be kind and loving to one another, and to welcome newcomers into our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that mothers will see the end of wars, poverty, disease, and environmental threats to their children. We pray for future generations of children that compassion, reconciliation, fairness, and mutual respect will eventually overcome anger and division. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those carrying heavy burdens, especially mothers. We pray for those who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing hardship, anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them, and make us generous with our response to their difficulties. We pray for Sandra Mason, back with us today. And in a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in a beautiful world that needs to be preserved and cherished. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Saviour. Our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Christ has gone to prepare a place for you, that you may be able to abide with him in his peace. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's share with one another a sign of that peace. Stand, we'll sing our third hymn. So let's sing hymn 1202. Come down, O love divine.
Thank you.
breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. Sometimes we are not sure why we come. Habit, duty, the easiest option. Sometimes the hymns seem empty, the words are dull, and we don't really concentrate. Quite often, our minds wander off to the Sunday papers or whatever the rest of the day holds. But then, Lord, we meet your love in the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. Around us, people are both discovering love and losing it. Some are striding forward confidently, and others are walking on broken glass. Some are full of hope, and some are crushed and exhausted. And always, your burning and pressing beauty is here as we meet your love in the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. In our deepest places, there are hidden fears and thoughts we admit to no one. Perhaps we can begin to see that nothing is unknown to you, Lord, and that you always look with mercy and not with blame. Because here we meet your love in the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. In this service, we come to break bread for our sin and pour wine for our celebration. We break bread for each other and pour wine for your kingdom. We come ourselves this morning to meet your love in the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. We know this because the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Please do be seated. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And now we give you thanks because he was tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. By his grace, we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died for us and rose again. As we prepare to celebrate the Easter feast with joyful hearts and minds, we bless you for your mercy and join with saints and angels forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. And the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread and gave it to them and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation. We proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As Jesus himself taught us, so we are bold to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. Loving God, as a mother feeds her children at the breast, you feed us in this sacrament with the food and drink of eternal life. Help us who have tasted your goodness to grow in grace within the household of faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Time, I think, to hear what the youngsters have been doing across the road while we were here.
With a story about a son, the prodigal son, and it's about this son who ran away from home and he got a job, and then when he came back his father threw a feast for him, and his eldest son was like, why are you throwing a feast? I've been here the whole time. And the father said, son, everything that I have will be yours. And it's like that's how God views all of us when we come back to him. And then we also made Mother's Day gifts.
Oh yeah, cool.
Hold on.
I'm all for espresso cups. Well, I think they should be for dads as well. So let's sing. We'll sing our final hymn, which is hymn 405, Now Thank We All Our God. We stand to sing.
Thank you.
So may the Lord, who brought us to birth by his Spirit, strengthen us for the Christian life. May the Lord, who provides for all our needs, sustain us day by day. May the Lord, whose steadfast love is constant as a mother's care, send us out to live and work for others. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.